Hello again, I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, and I'm speaking with Elliot Kohler, who's chair of the Department of Arabic and Islamic Studies at Georgetown University. He's the author of Conflicted Antiquities, Egyptology, Egyptomania, and Egypt Modernity. He also translates work of contemporary Arabic literature, including Ibrahim Aslan's novel, The Heron, Idris Ali's Poor, and Ibrahim Al-Khoni's Gold Dust, as well as works by others. He is currently working on a study entitled 9/1001, Readings in the Arabian Nights. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you.
And you testified this week to the United States Congress about events unfolding in Egypt. But I imagine, being a specialist on Egypt, you were still nevertheless caught by surprise by Mubarak's non-concession.
That's right. The story that we're watching unfold is simple and complicated. And there's certain parts that remain constant and almost predictable. And there's other parts that continue to astound us, like today's non-departure of Mubarak.
And what do you think happened there? Do you think there was something going on prior to this? Otherwise, we have to conclude that American intelligence is not particularly good, because the president almost indicated he was about to depart. The CIA director suggested in testimony today that he thought he was going to depart, and he didn't. So would it be possible that he'd agreed and then at the last minute he simply couldn't do it because he obviously has a massive paternalistic ego?
Well, we won't know for a while, and I won't claim to know, but what I would say is this, that on the one hand, we have a fairly complicated array of pro-democracy allies. And on the other, it's beginning to look like the opponents of the pro-democracy movement in Cairo and Alexandria and throughout the country is similarly complicated. And what I mean by that is, within Egypt, we have what appears to be a set of splits opening up. And this, I think, was always part of the hopes, if not strategies, of the pro-democracy movement. The splits that are opening up are around, on the one hand, Hosni Mubarak and his immediate family and his close confidants. And on the other hand, members of the ruling party who have been peeling off for days now. These are top members within the ruling party, and including at this point virtually everybody in his cabinet, including an old professor of mine who was quickly made minister of culture, and he resigned. Everyone is resigning. So that's one split that's happening up between Hosni Mubarak, the person, his family, and the party. Now, on the other hand, there's another split that appears to be taking place. It's going to take either a few hours or a few days to figure out what the split is. But it's part of it is a split between the army and the police, or state security forces within Egypt. And those are traditionally separate. And then within the army, and I think this is the part we don't understand yet, there's clearly splits within the army that are nominally under Mubarak's rule, right? He is also commander-in-chief. And members of the army came out today, in fact, the official body of the army, the Council of Armed Forces, came out with a very interesting pronouncement on this, showing their distance from him and from Suleiman, who is second in command. Now, the part we haven't heard from yet are the two sections of the armed forces that are not under the command of the other generals, and those are the Republican Guard and the Presidential Guards. These are the people who report directly to Hosni Mubarak. The thing is, these guys are better trained and they're better armed than the others. And the army, probably throughout the last 2.5 weeks, has been very wary about going up against these guys, because in a fair fight, these guys would probably win. And so I think what we're seeing right now is members within the army asserting their own independence, both Mubarak and Omar Suleiman, and perhaps taking a position that may lead to a confrontation with these other forces, the Republican and presidential guards, that are going to be loyal to Hosni Mubarak.
Now, Elliot Kohler, though, as we've experienced in these last few weeks, events catch us by surprise, and it's almost an organism of its own, this vast crowd in Tahrir Square. And there is rage and disappointment at Mubarak's defiance. And there was an expectation that tomorrow there would be a march from Tahrir Square to the presidential palace. It may actually happen as we speak. One doesn't know. So if that were to happen, the mob just turned on Mubarak's residence, would the presidential guard then fire on the people?
Well, that's to be seen, and it has happened sometimes in revolutions. And that is a turning point when revolutions happen. It's always a turning point if and when the army decides to shoot on the civilians. It hasn't happened in Egypt. Remember, that was the turning point in Tunisia when Ben Ali ordered the troops to fire on civilians. His general said no, and that was the moment that he had to leave. That hasn't happened yet in Egypt. The one thing I would say is this is a disappointed crowd. They are angry. I do not believe I wouldn't describe them as a mob or being angry in the sense that for 2.5 weeks these are people who have been meeting with no leadership and a really simple and very clear set of demands, and they haven't budged from that message in 2.5 weeks. What are the demands? An end of one-party rule, an end of official corruption, an end of to police brutality, free and fair elections, human rights, civil rights, and so on. So far, this is a mass of people. They are incredibly well organized, given that there is no central command, and they are on message. They've remained on message, and part of the reason is that this is coming really from the people. The bulk of these people are not necessarily political actors or activists. At this point, the bulk of the people in Tahrir Square and on the Corniche in Alexandria are normal people who have wondered, who have wished for Hosni Mubarak to leave now for 30 years and have been waiting for an Egyptian state to do anything in their lives other than maybe arrest their sons and daughters. So, I mean, what's going to happen tomorrow, I don't know. And I do believe that there will be elements who would like it to descend into violence. Now, but I just want to stress that until this moment, the protests have been peaceful and focused, and their demands are clear and almost universal. Right? These are things that most people want: civil rights, human rights, and civilian government. They've had 30 years of military rule, and they don't want any more of it. 60 years, I should say, 30 under Mubarak, but 30 before him. And so if there's violence tomorrow, I would predict it's not going to be coming from the pro-democracy movement, but it may well be instigated, and I fear what might happen. But as we saw 2 weeks ago, when violence erupted, it wasn't from the demonstrators. It was really instigated by Mubarak's thugs. So that may, I suspect at this point, this is a regime that's lost all its friends. There's nobody left in the party who openly supports Hosni Mubarak. I mean, there may be some, but everyone is coming out asking him to come down. The state newspaper came out, and everyone is just and the party, his own party, asked him to step down. So this is a man now with no friends. What we saw today on television was the last of the last, I think, speeches of the dictator. I don't know where he could go, and the fact that he wants to stay is worrisome. And yes, to answer your question, finally, things may happen tomorrow and it may be violent, but I don't believe it's going to. The catalyst is not the disappointment of the crowd right now. The catalyst is all those dead enders in the Mubarak regime who will not budge.
Again, I'm speaking with Elliot Kohler, who's chair of the Department of Arabic and Islamic Studies at Georgetown University. He testified to the U.S. Congress earlier this week. And What sort of made me think in these terms, though, Eliot Kohler, was that this big demonstration has been planned, and it's also been said that there was an intention for the crowd to march on the palace, not to sack the palace, but to march on the palace. If, as you've pointed out, there is a cleavage here within the military between the regular army and the presidential guards, then that does open the possibility of dead-enders defending the dictator till the last. So that's why I brought up right. The question of the possibility of violence.
No, and remember, between Tahrir Square, and they're marching to an old presidential palace called Qasr al-Din. It is not the main presidential palace now that Mubarak uses. As far as I understand, tomorrow the march is on Qasr al-Din. What lies right between Tahrir Square and Qasr al-Din is the Ministry of the Interior. Now, on floors 4 and 5 of the Ministry of the Interior are the torture floors. These are the floors that people like Omar Suleiman used, and his captains used to torture ordinary Egyptian civilians. So I suspect if on the way to Qasr al-Din a large crowd happens to stop at the Ministry of the Interior, I suspect there'll be something happening there tomorrow, because that in popular consciousness, that the Ministry of the Interior is a place to, it's the Bastille. If we're looking for that, it would be there. And that's also going to be a place where some people probably within the regime would put up a fight. It won't be, but again, I shouldn't go further than that, but that's where my imagination goes right now when I'm thinking about tomorrow.
Well, I just looked at a Twitter tweet or whatever they call them from Mohammed El Baradei, which was a few minutes ago. He said, Egypt is about to explode. The Egyptian ambassador in Washington has said that Omar Suleiman is assuming presidential duties. Obviously, that is confusing, shall we say. But I read a piece, and I interviewed co-editor Jadalia. You've posted stuff on there as well, Eliot Kohler. She was telling me, Hajar?
Yeah.
Yes, Lisa Hajar, and she was talking about Suleiman in terms of not just that he has an association with torture, that he's actually hands-on torturer. I mean, I find it extraordinary to think that we are looking for stability from a man like that.
Right. Look, what is difficult to listen to coming from the city I live in Washington, D.C., is all this talk about order, and needing to restore order. Now, and this, because this has precisely been Hosni Mubarak's line for 30 years, we may not give you rights, we may not give you hope for the future, we may not give you economic opportunities, but we give you stability. The fact is that since 1992, the Egyptian state has been absent in terms of providing any meaningful help to Egyptians in terms of health, in terms of education, in terms of basic things like enforcing building codes and so on, right? And to claim that this is a state that has ever been able to provide order to the people is remarkable. I mean, when the state, when the police disappeared a couple weeks ago from the street, what did the Egyptian people do? They set up their own police policing groups in their neighborhoods. They picked up trash. They relied on themselves. This is because they've been relying on themselves at least since 1992. These things don't get done. The Egyptian state provides nearly no social services for Egyptians, and the police don't solve crimes or prevent crimes so much as arrest boys and girls who look at them funny. I mean, so yes, order is not. This is not a regime that can provide order or any kind of benefits in that regard to the Egyptian people. Now, I mentioned how complicated the array of opposition is to the pro-democracy movement inside Egypt. We need to remember that there's an array of opponents to a popular revolution in Egypt outside of Egypt too. For instance, Saudi Arabia and the other authoritarian regimes in the Arab world, they have no interest in letting Egypt set an example for their own people. The Obama administration, like other administrations in the U.S. before him, has always preferred not to think about Egypt or just to think of it as a status quo, a black box. As long as Egypt provides intelligence on the war on terror, as long as it enforces the Camp David Treaty with Israel, as long as it helps Israel contain Gaza, then Obama and other administrations have let the Egyptians do whatever they want, the Mubarak regime do whatever they want to the Egyptian people. Finally, the last opponent of this movement is really the Israeli state. Now, there are lots of people in Israel who are hoping for a democratic rule in Egypt because it will probably, likely in the long run, be a better source of security for Israel. But right now, the ruling party in Israel loves Omar Suleiman. Why? He's their guy. He's the guy who has liaisoned with them over Gaza. He likes the fact that he has been I won't keep going on, but there's a number of opponents from this outside, and Suleiman and the other generals, you know, Shafiq and Tantawi, this trio, this new, I think, de facto ruling junta, these guys are all approved in the U.S., approved in Riyadh, and approved in Tel Aviv. And this and their unpopularity on the Egyptian street has got to be scary.
Well, what's Tahrir's called Mubarak's poodle, I understand. But I think to some extent, it seems clear to me, Elliot Kohler, that the Saudi king, and I believe he has called President Obama, and the Israelis have been weighing in on Obama, telling him not to show Mubarak the door so quickly. That would explain, I think, what people are seeing, some sort of waffling there. On the one hand, today he again reached out to the young people in Egypt and said, "You're the people who are bringing this about, and you're the future." So I think he, by and large, he seems to be getting it right, wouldn't you say? But I think in this bizarre non-resignation speech of Mubarak's, his allusion to foreign interference seemed, to my mind, to be directed at Obama. Like, how dare you tell me to get the hell out of here? You know,
it would be the height of hypocrisy for a man who has not only taken, but likely embezzled $1.5 billion a year of U.S. taxpayer money, to then turn around and complain about foreign meddling in internal Egyptian affairs. And that is why Mubarak's speech will be parsed by analysts for years to come. But that is one line that showed really how out of touch he is. Mubarak was America's man. And I still believe, despite what Obama was doing, or what he might have said today, he's still their preferred guy. If not him, maybe a more palatable version of him, sort of a new old guy.
Right. Right? In the same clip. You mean the torturer?
The torture. That's right.
Good Lord. I mean, by the way, Elliot Kohler, I understand that there's a report that the Saudi Arabian king had promised Mubarak that if the Americans pull their $1.5 billion a year military aid, the Saudis will step up and replace it.
Right. It's actually most of that money does not actually go to Egypt. It goes to the Egyptian army, and in fact, most of that money that goes to the Egyptian army doesn't even leave the U.S. soil, because it goes to U.S. defense contractors, who also are lining up and as part of this array against the pro-democracy forces. Because, well, if Egyptians are demanding civilian rule rather than a military junta, well, the military spending in Egypt is going to go way down. And right now, this $1.5 million
billion
of aid is mostly going to U.S.-based defense corporations who stand to profit. So those lobbyists have been working hard in this city as well in the last 2.5 weeks to prevent any kind of meaningful.
Well, Alec Kohler, I thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And hello again, I'm Ian Masters. I'm speaking then with Alec Kohler, who's the chair of the Department of Arabic and Islamic Studies at Georgetown University, and he testified this week to the United States Congress. Let's take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the Republican budget, which the Republicans in the House have been arguing about. So we'll get some details.